that's the introductory music to the original 1984 version of Red Dawn, which I think is very appropriate given the topic that we cover here with my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff Nyquist began a quest, I think it's coming up on 38 years, to understand and comprehend and be quite expert in anything and everything to do with the international communist conspiracy. The author of 6 books, available for sale at Amazon.com. His website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. And excellent articles written, one, sometimes two articles a week written at that website. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
I don't do this very often, but I think it's good to give a summary of that film, the original Red Dawn, released in 1984. And it's difficult to watch in the movie theater like I did. I went to the movie theater with two members of my A-team, our team leader and our combo guy. My wife, Dr. Moore, was with us. And early in the movie, there's a scene where the character Robert is sawing off the barrel of a 12-gauge shotgun to make it more suitable for guerrilla warfare. And something happened spontaneously, Jeff. The audience broke into applause when this young man was sawing the barrel off that shotgun. I saw that as the real American spirit of being demonstrated to everybody. What do you think, sir?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, people want to resist an invasion, and they're being shown an invasion in a movie. And, of course, they're on the side of the Americans who are being invaded.
Of course they are. And for those who don't know, the film is a movie about, in fact, the title itself is not something dreamed up by a Hollywood scriptwriter. The title comes from an official Pentagon war scenario, Red Dawn, which involves a Russian and or Chinese invasion of the United States, a military invasion. And that's what the movie's about. It was released in 1984. I like both versions. A more recent version was done. It was ready to be released, and they had Chinese paratroopers coming in, and the Chinese had enough clout to have the stop the release and have, through the use of the modern technology, have the invaders be North Koreans and not the communist Chinese. That shows a lot of clout, doesn't it, to be able to do that, Jeff?
Well, imagine if the original Red Dawn, the Russians had enough clout to stop it from being Russia invaded, and they made it Albania invading us.
Exactly. It'd be about the same thing. A tiny country invading a very large country. I look at what the possibilities as being asymmetric warfare, some parts of which have been fought for many, many decades. The culture war, the financial war, where I don't know how close a shooting war would be, but parts of this war have been fought for decades, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have the Korean War and this Vietnamese War and Vietnam War. And, of course, Grenada. There were all kinds of small military operations. And, of course, Iran is really a satellite of Russia and China, even though it's a liberation theology form of Islam, which has many things in common with Marxism. So they fit right in. And we're facing a kind of communist bloc plus Islamist revolutionaries globally. And they're trying to cripple us economically, infiltrate us politically, take us over from the in from the inside while they're attacking us from the outside, and using a divide and conquer strategy to divide us ideologically, and of course to confuse us as to who's our enemy, so that they could get us to think that all of these countries are united against us. So oh yeah, we can play Russia against China. No. We can't, because this is a long-term plan. All these countries are committed a long time ago to it. We know this from defectors, and we know this by watching them. The fact that Russia gives huge amounts of grain every year to Cuba, communist Cuba. That Russia receives artillery shells in his war with Ukraine from North Korea, that Russia, that Putin went to China, to Beijing, before he invaded Ukraine, as if to get permission and support. We know that China is supporting, against the embargo of the West, China is supporting the Russian economy by sending them the cars and the parts that they need that they can no longer get from Europe. So, which is perhaps more important for, to keep the Russian economy going than even sending weapons, because Russia can produce its own weapons. You know, Russia has been a major armory for decades. And of course, you've got South Africa, ruled by the Communist Front, the African National Congress, the ANC. You've got Lula coming to power in Brazil, you know, defeating supposedly, honestly, Bolsonaro, the friend of Trump. And you have the revolution in Venezuela under Hugo Chavez. And now, definitely, it's a communist country. It's got Cubans all over it. And same thing in Nicaragua. Daniel Ortega is in Nicaragua. And the requested Russian troops. The Nicaraguan communists asked for Russian troops, ships and planes, and base building from the Russians to establish them as a base, as a Russian base. So the Russians are not communists when they're working with every communist country around the globe, including the ones in Africa. And you look at Wagner mercenaries all over Africa. And now, to just underscore this, they caught there was an assault on a Ukrainian position last week, and they killed, of this party of 12 soldiers, they killed 8, they captured 4. They were Somalians who couldn't speak a word of Russian.
Okay.
They had been brought into Europe through Russia's. See, Russia's been the ones pumping Europe full of Muslims from Africa and in the Middle East. And they smuggled them across the Finnish border. They were smuggling these people. You know, these poor people pay money to get smuggled into a better place. They end up bringing them into Russia, promising them a job. Then they say, oh, we're going to pay you lots of money. Here, put on this uniform. Here's this rifle. Go attack this position. So the Russians are getting enormous numbers of cannon fodder from these third world immigrants that they are flooding Europe with. They're flooding. Who's organizing the flood tide of people across the U.S. southern border, facilitated by Biden? And of course, people say, well, Biden's supporting Ukraine. No, he's not. Mike Turner, the head of the Intelligence Committee, issued a report. I think it came out in early November. In which he has part of the report is how Biden has promised things to Ukraine that were critically withdrawn or arrived late that could have cost Ukraine the war. Because when you make military planning and you don't get what you're promised, it could throw your whole strategy out of balance. And Biden has done this again and again. But Biden wants to do it in a way that he can blame Trump and the Republicans. So many of the dummies over there in the MAGA movement have not understood this. Mike Turner and his committee understand it because they're looking at the raw intelligence and they're seeing what Biden is doing. And so we have to get the right facts here. We cannot succumb to Russian disinformation because it's communist disinformation. That's who they're really working with. But the communists are masking this. They want to protect their assets here in this country, who are in the FBI now. And they're in the Justice Department. And Michael Waller has just come out with a book on this, by the way, that's coming out today. And I want to advise people to go out and get it. Michael Waller he writes as if the collapse of the Soviet Union was real, but he is explaining how communists.
What's the title of the book, Jeff?
It's How the Great Cultural Revolution Transformed the CIA and FBI. I think the title is Big Intel. That's the title. How the CIA and FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains. And it comes out today on January 16th.
Okay.
So, you know, go out and read this. This is a communist. The deep state is communist. Michael Waller knows this. And my only difference with Mike is to say, look, Mike, the Soviet collapse was a maneuver. We know this from Galitzin, Shana, Bittman, and we know this Robert Bukar. We know this Trevor Loudon's friend, New Zealand friend, who was told by Yaniev, who worked with Yaniev, the guy that led the August coup, that we're going to pretend to collapse, and then we're going to smash you. We're going to infiltrate you and smash you. You know, this was what really galvanized Trevor Loudon in his anti-communist campaign. Those of us who know that if had direct contact with communists and talked to defectors and talked to people who've spied over there. We know what the real information is. The problem is that the stumbles that the communists made, that the Soviets made in their maneuver, they lost genuine positions. They suffered losses. Look at the Ukraine thing. And in Georgia, in the Baltic states, they lost more than they wanted to lose in their maneuver. But they got the positions in the White House, in the U.S. Congress, in the U.S. intelligence community, in the other Western countries. They got positions that have war-winning implications. So it's like a chess game where you give up a piece, you sacrifice it to get something, get a better position from which to checkmate your enemy. Right. This is what they've done. Things haven't gone perfect for them. And they're trying to play out the strategy now. And it's just, if people could wake up and see it, it could be countered.
Well, I hope so. And that's what needs to happen. If it's not countered, they'll win, won't they?
Yeah, because one of the things Viktor Kalashnikov, the former KGB officer, told me when he met with Leonid Shabarshin, the head of the KGB, who was the head of the first chief directorate at the time. He said, well, we've lost, the Cold War is over. And Shabarshin told him, no, we've had some setbacks, but everything's on track. He said, now tell me about the banks in Austria. Why? Because they had to move and launder money, KGB money, Communist Party money, to move into the West so that they could buy up fronts and businesses and people to get into our politics, to heavily infiltrate the politics of Germany, Great Britain, France, and the United States and other countries, so that they could change our policies. They could look, we haven't, Russia's been building new classes of nuclear missiles and warheads for years, and we haven't built a new nuclear warhead or a missile since 1992. We haven't even tested a nuclear weapon since 1992 in a real test. And France since 96, Britain since 92. So the problem is, why has this happened? That we're not nuclear rearming when the Russians and Chinese are building nuclear weapons like sausages, and Iran is about to build nuclear weapons, you see.
Well, those Muslims running Iran having nuclear weapons, I found really scary. How about you, Jeff?
No more scary than the communists having them. It's the same thing.
Well, I need to politely disagree. Muslims advocate having sex with your deceased wife. I mean, the communists are crazy, but not that crazy.
Well, the thing is, the communists are more sophisticated than the Muslims.
Roger that.
And how they're going to use it. And the thing is that it's the communists that are making use of the Muslims, not the other way around.
Roger that. Absolutely.
And it may be that in a nuclear war, the Muslims will emerge as a greater threat, depending on how the bombs fall. But it is a joint effort. And the communists are the artists of organization, penetration. Their human intelligence is the best in the world. They can penetrate anybody. When you look at the top mullahs in Iran, you look at those top clerics, most of them were educated at Moscow State University, including the president, Ayatollah. So it's like, oh, they went to school in the Soviet Union? Yeah, they did. And so that's where the recruitment happened.
Of course it does.
That's my belief. It's pretty obvious. I mean, why do you go to Patrice Lumumba University? You go back to a third world country, and now you're in charge of that country, and you're aligned with Russia. You're getting Russian weapons, and you're serving Russia's foreign policy. What was the Hamas attack on October 7th in Israel about? October 7th is Putin's birthday. That's a birthday present to Putin, just like the assassination of Anna Politkovskaya, shot on the lift outside. This is a brave Russian reporter that reported about the truth about things in Russia under Putin. She was shot in the lift outside her home, her apartment, on October 7th. It was a gift to Putin, right? So this is a signal of who they're working with. And so all you have to do is read these signs and signals, and you could see what it is. And so for all those conservatives who think that Putin is our potential friend and we've made a mistake, we've provoked him, no, he's been against us all along. I followed Putin's career from the very beginning when he was first prime minister. It was very clear who he was. He was a lieutenant colonel in the KGB, the sword and shield of the Communist Party. Whitaker Chambers once wrote that you don't just leave the communist movement. You don't just defect from it. You have to, if you're going to defect, you have to defect against it. Louis Boudin said the same thing. You know, other communists have said the same thing. Former communists who've defected from it. You cannot just leave because they'll murder you because right. You're considered a traitor. And you know, they just reconstituted SMERSH in Russia. SMERSH, the World War II espionage organization. They put it in the James Bond movies. But SMERSH, right. Acronym basically means death to spies.
Really?
That's what it means.
Amazing.
You know? And of course, death to traitors. Yeah.
We have our first caller here. We got John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello. I have a couple of questions. What I'd like to know is first of all, how are communists, first of all, I'd like to know, how much has your study and encounter and interaction with communism, how it caused you to or forced you to learn about the disease of psychopathy and its psychology? And two, how are communists able to inspire such total dedication in people to their adherence that they give their whole lives to it, to taking over the world?
Well,
even giving their lives.
There's an Israeli named Sam Baknin. He wrote a book called Malignant Self-Love. I think it's called, you know, I think it's the, is it the Malignant Self? No, I think it's called Malignant Self-Love. Vatnin has been diagnosed with borderline, malignant narcissism and being a psychopath. You know, he's sort of in that himself. So he became self-aware. He said, this has ruined my life. At one point, he was sitting in an Israeli jail for something that he did, and he thought, I got to understand what this is that has me in its grip. And so he wrote this book, which is how a person with this problem experiences themselves, experiences what their inner consciousness is like. And there's a whole part of it about envy, how he's eaten away by envy, and how he's constantly battling not to feel really small and insignificant, to make himself great and special. And so this, to build himself up, he needs narcissistic supply, is the word they use, is to feed yourself, and you feed off of other people. And it is malignant. It's quite damaging to other people. Of course, that's an important book for understanding narcissism and psychopathy from the inside. What it is that, because
hold that thought, Jeff. Hold that thought. We got a break. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
There's a point, 7,000 RPM, where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM, that's where you need it. You feel it coming, creeps up on you close in your ear. Ask you a question, the only question that matters.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. Lots of information there that will educate you, lots of things that will help you achieve your goals at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. Books for sale at Amazon. Jeff, before we get back to your comments, how can people subscribe to your website, please?
There's a PayPal button below every article or video.
All right. You want to continue where you left off before the break, Jeff?
Yeah, sure. Talking about psychopathy and Sam Beckman's book, work being very important. But then there's a political philosopher named Eric Voegelin who analyzed the phenomenon of modern totalitarian psychology and movements. And he had a slightly different but similar analysis. He said that people who become fanatically attached to Nazism or communism or any of these other radical isms, they're alienated. And you could say that a narcissistic person someone who suffered injury as a child, is alienated. It's a form of psychological alienation where you think the world is against you. You think that everything's, you know, going wrong in your life. You have an inability to kind of cope with life's ups and downs. And so these alienated people look for a solution, that their salvation will be found in politics. And so they are, in a way, their psychopathy drives them to embrace this solution, which is really just a gimmick or a game for a gang taking power, is essentially what it is. And to be completely lawless. One of the points of Nazism and communism is that it justifies, their extreme views justify any expedient. So they can rob, steal, kill anyone that gets in their way, which is anyone they decide to take stuff from. And so that is sort of, and it's sort of the ultimate breakdown of Christian civilization and the ideas of law that we have developed. and right and wrong. It is a negation of right and wrong, essentially.
All right. John, are you still with us?
But how are they able, I once saw a testimony or an interview with someone who was a cult deprogrammer. They used to call communism a cult, correct?
And well, I mean, that's a term.
The interviewer asked this cult deprogrammer, how do you deprogram a cult leader? And he said, you don't. And all of his decades of deprogramming, is when he spoke or interviewed a cult leader, it was always like he was talking with the same person. They were all psychopaths.
Yeah, well, this is something Benjamin Gitlow, in his book All the Days of Their Lives, he was a friend of John Reed, who was one of the founders of the two communist parties that formed here. John Reed knew Lenin. He went to, he wrote 10 Days That Shook the World about the Bolshevik Revolution, and he ended up in Russia. The movie Reds was made about him. Gitlow was his friend, and Gitlow said the same thing. He said, the communist movement is a bunch of sweet people who believe in this utopia, this future utopia, led by sharks. I believe the word he said was sharks. He said the leaders are basically psychopaths. And they're very vicious. And the higher up you get, Colonel Stanislav Lunev told me the same thing. I once asked him, I said, well, are there any good people in the Kremlin, in the Russian general staff? And this is a conversation I had with him in 1998. And he looked at me like I'd asked a stupid question. And he said, these are not human beings. These are crazy persons. And he went on to explain psychotic. He said Lenin was a psychopath. He talked about he had been in the archive of 6,000 of Lenin's documents that are kept secret to this day because he's ordering the murder of women and children, provocations against villages, the slaughtering of thousands of people, innocent people, and using profanity in his orders to do these killings. To understand Karl Marx's history, I think Paul Johnson, he wrote a book where he had a bunch of biographies of leading radicals. Karl Marx was one. His brief biography of Karl Marx is very good. He describes Marx as a basically a very narcissistic individual. And the same thing with some other books on Marx. They describe
him as narcissistic. Hold that thought, Jeff. We got about an hour break.
Narcissistic. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. TOM at republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
No food, no lights, no overpower, not a single luxury. Like Robinson Crusoe, it's primitive as can be.
Don't be a victim. Is your home and car protected from an EMP event, or will you be a victim? EMP Shield will protect your home, car, or generator from the damaging effects of an electromagnetic pulse and lightning. Folks, this is the exact equipment the Department of Defense uses to protect their infrastructure, and each unit comes with $25,000 of insurance coverage. To get a $50 discount on each unit purchased, go to thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Or call the toll-free order line 24 hours a day. 800-592-9543. That's 800-592-9543. Don't be a victim.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Rebs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, wait. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're going to sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. If you have issues with pain, you need an energy cleaner. Issues with sleep, same thing. You need an energy cleaner. Details at my website. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on energy cleaner. Filling with Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. Book for sale at Amazon. And Jeff, you want to continue with your summary about the psychosis of Karl Marx?
Robert Payne wrote a book on Marx, which is quite thick and really details his life. It's one of the best ones, and it basically shows how he behaved towards his siblings growing up, how he was spoiled. His father, Heinrich Marx, wrote a letter, which is still extant, which Payne publishes in the book, about how he writes to his son, "I've spoiled you. You expect all this stuff to flow to you. You want to. You won't be happy if you don't have 100 carriages and all these servants." And basically tells his son, "I know you want to be rich and powerful." And it's inappropriate, you know. So Marx had this tremendous envy and lust for power. And so he created his ideology, which he himself didn't really believe in. And he made fun, actually, of the people who actually believed it, because he wanted to be dictator of his native Germany, along with Friedrich Engels, his partner, and other revolutionaries who, their model was Napoleon and the French Revolution. And it was Napoleon who went from being an artillery officer in the French army, originally of Corsican extraction, to becoming emperor of France and ruler of Europe. And they looked at that and said, "That's what we want. That's what we want to be. We want to be him." And so they had to think up a revolutionary ideology, because how can an ordinary person aspire to that kind of power, to be like a Napoleon, unless there's a revolution which upturns everything? Then they have a chance to get in there if they've been agitators. And that's really the psychological origin of this whole thing, in terms of those individuals.
of course, Napoleon's existence and reign was within living memory of Karl Marx, wasn't it?
Well, Karl Marx was born in 1818 on May 5th, which interestingly, Napoleon died on May 5th, 1821.
Right, right.
So Karl Marx had this coincidental identification that he had been born on the day that Napoleon died, 3 years before Napoleon. But yeah, Napoleon was still alive when he was a child. And of course, if you were in the 19th century, if you went into a library, you would probably find that more biographies were of Napoleon than of any other person, person.
When Karl Marx was a boy, every adult in Europe had knowledge of what Napoleon did, sometimes firsthand knowledge, didn't they?
Well, yes, of course, because most of Napoleon's battles were fought in Germany.
Right.
You know, so you see these battles, they have the names of German towns or cities or places. You know, the Battle of Leipzig, which they also call the Battle of Nations, or Austerlitz, you know. So it was Germany's existence was overturned by Napoleon. So it was a huge effect on the Germans. And it was a huge effect on their psychology. So, you know, this psychology of Karl Marx and of the inception of modern communism through him carries forth in these Russians like Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin, who was a Georgian and not a Russian, but had ended up in control of the whole thing because he was so sly. But this whole formation, you have to get a mass movement where millions of people, or in the case of the Bolsheviks, it was only tens of thousands initially that were following them. You have to get this mass movement, get control of a country, it turns out the biggest country in the world, the Russian Empire. And then you can then build an international networks through the Comintern, through linking up with people in other countries who've read Marx, who want a socialist revolution. And of course, we use the word communism, but initially the words communism and socialism were interchangeable. They developed a technical vocabulary later when the Soviet Union formed to try to explain the development, because the magic of communism is that you have the revolution and then sort of magically it evolves into, you know, from the dictatorship of the proletariat, the initial revolutionary overthrow, it evolves into a kind of withering away of the state in an anarchic utopia where everybody just does what they want and it just works out, which is absurd, of course. But it's the magical thinking of ideology. And people go, oh, and Marx does it with, so there's a letter between Marx and Engels. And Engels kind of supported Marx in his writing activities where Marx said, well, I have to lay it on thick. I have to put all these technical terms. I have to make it very sophisticated so that these idiots will actually believe it and ooh and ah over it, you know. So it was just a lot of gobbledygook. I mean, you know, people talk about the Marxist dialectic. He copied that from Hegel, although it wasn't Hegel's dialectic. He just perverted it into something of his own. So he was very sophisticated writer and thinker, but he was perverted. And this is the thing, his followers, because they want to believe this, you know, they want to believe there's a, you know, because the world we live in is problematic. I mean, bad things happen to good people. There's crime, there's corruption. You know, we don't live in a perfect, you know, democracy. Well, I don't call it democracy. People call it democracy, but it's mixed government, actually, that creates freedom. A system of checks and balances is still not perfect. The justice department, the justice system is not perfect. People are going to suffer. You know, we all suffer and we all suffer and die in the end. But this is, you know, what we've got in America and in the free world. This is as good as it gets. And you're going to throw it all over for a horrific criminal dictatorship that corrupts people worse, that authorizes mass murder or justifies it. That is your way to fix the problems of regular society? No. This is just a game, and the game is a game of getting absolute power.
Absolutely. Let's move on from there. John, thank you for your call. We're still there. We need to move on. Any updates this week on the war in Ukraine, which begins its third year in a few weeks, sir?
Yes, it does. Well, to remind all those people that have said that Ukraine is defeated already and the war is, you know, hopeless, Sorry, guys. You know, it's going to go into its third year. Russia is apparently going to have another round of mobilizations, because although they managed to raise through offering money to people to come and fight, and to take people from the third world to come in and fight, the 14 to 30,000 people that they recruit a month is not able to keep up with their losses. So heavy are their losses. So they need another mobilization, and the number being floated around is around 200,000 more, because what they need to finish the war off is they need to have a force that's large enough to take on 600,000 armed Ukrainians. The Russians have not been able to mobilize the numbers. The Russians have more artillery guns and they have more tanks, but they don't have more men. They haven't had the numbers of men. So they need to get the numbers. They've been working very hard to bring their production numbers up, to build more things. And they probably are getting equipment from China as well as North Korea, which I might mention. There's some stories, and I don't know how serious to take it, that Kim Jong-un is contemplating restarting the Korean War, beginning a war in the Korean Peninsula. So I'm not sure how to seriously to take some of these stories. It's being alleged that there's some serious consideration of this in Pyongyang. Of course, this puts additional pressure on the West, on the United States, in the Pacific theater. And of course, we don't know what China, if North Korea goes, you might then see a Chinese, because they would have cover then. With us being overextended, you might have cover for a blockade on Taiwan. The other thing is the Iranians now have enough weapons-grade uranium to start building nuclear weapons. And this is perhaps the most dangerous thing of all, because that puts Israel in a position to either do the strike they've always contemplated to prevent Iran from getting the bomb, do a strike on Iran, or let them have the bomb and see what happens. And so that's with this fighting in the Red Sea against the Houthi rebels in Yemen, this and the Hamas attack in October 7th, these may be prequels, distractions to help Russia and Ukraine by distracting Western assets away from Europe. But it may be part of a gradual move towards war on multiple fronts in East Asia and the Middle East, because our military is weakened to the point, you know, we have qualitative superiority over the Russians and Chinese, but we don't have the numbers. If we are stretched in the Middle East, as you know, we've got 100,000 troops in Europe, and of course you've got the Far East. If all of these things come online as conflicts at once, we don't have the wherewithal to manage. And our allies like Canada and Australia and Germany and France, they've dawdled. They have not kept up their militaries. So they talk about it, but they have not increased their spending to the levels, promised levels, and they have not brought, you know, the Germans have a tank brigade that doesn't have any tanks in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's and of course, the discipline in the Bundeswehr has never been, you know, stellar. And they didn't do, at the end of the Cold War, the Germans destroyed their tanks.
Really?
For the Russians stockpiled theirs. They put theirs in mothballs out in the desert. And of course, the Russians have brought a lot of those, are bringing those tanks back. And the Russians have I understand their biggest production facility right now is producing T-64 tanks, quite old. But I understand they could produce 3,000 a year.
Really?
Just the figure that I've heard, yeah. Which is more than the tank production of all of Europe, right? So numbers do matter. I mean, quality is over, you know, is very important. But if your training is poor, if you don't have the equipment, and a lot of the German Leopard tanks that have been sent to Ukraine, the Ukrainians said, these are all busted up. These are no good. We can't use these. Same thing with a lot of the APCs they've received. Ukraine has received just a lot of junk that other countries, it would have cost them more to break it down and destroy it than it would have just ship it to Ukraine. That's the problem. So we don't know what's going to happen in Ukraine, because Ukraine needs support to, you know, it's one third the size of Russian population and in industry, although Ukraine has some advantages, qualitative advantages, and their soldiers. I mean, consistently you hear that it's a 4-to-1 ratio in killing. The Russians are losing 4-to-1 over the Ukrainians in the fighting because they're using World War II tactics. But still, that's a tremendous strain on Ukraine. And here, you know, 11, 12 million Ukrainians have fled Ukraine because of the war, mostly women, children, and old people. And of course, they have draft evaders like anywhere else. But, you know, it's very hard for Ukraine's economy to be sustained throughout this. And they do need some support. They've done amazing with the support that they've been given, which is not what you would say is the quality support, for example, we gave South Vietnam or South Korea. We've given them. I mean, Ukraine could become a society like South Korea, which could be vibrant in, just imagine in 20 years, an independent Ukraine motivated to produce for itself, to reform itself. It's been stripping itself of its Soviet institutions. Of course, the last of those institutions is the Soviet-style army that they have, knowing that they have to change it, knowing that they need modern equipment and concepts. And they pretty much had to really invent their own concepts, because the Western concepts revolved around air, controlling the air. And they don't have an air force big enough to challenge the Russians. And the Russians are really good at anti-air missiles. Denying Russian doctrine is not air supremacy, but air denial. So they have tremendous anti-air systems. So that's the nature of the war. And of course, drones have come on as a major factor in the war, and the Ukrainians are manufacturing their own. The Russians are manufacturing drones too. They're getting them from China and Iran. They're shipping them drones. So it's you could say that, like the Spanish Civil War before the Second World War, this is the laboratory in which we see the all the weapons of the next world war being tried out.
Well, Jeff, let's segue to Taiwan. There was an election a few days ago, and the new president of Taiwan was the one the Chinese communists did not want elected, and they made not so subtle threats if that person was elected, which that person was. Any thoughts on that, sir?
Well, I think that's not surprising, because the Taiwanese people, and watching what's happening in Ukraine, they look at their own fate and they go, do we want to be under these people in Beijing? They saw what was done in Hong Kong. They saw how many people were disappeared, how many people were murdered in Hong Kong. They don't want Hong Kong to be their future. They don't want to lose their freedom. They don't want to lose their standard of living. So, you know, naturally, the Kuomintang, which ironically was the original national party of the nationalist China, is just too infiltrated by Chinese agents. It's compromised by all the economic deals the rich folks of that party made with China. And so I think it's not surprising. The people have questions about Taiwan because the Kuomintang party members are predominant in the officer corps, and there's fears of treason. But I think once Taiwan comes under attack, just like Ukraine has the similar issues because it was so interpenetrated. It was part of the Soviet Union. There's a lot of Moscow agents all throughout. But they had this period, the Euromaidan Revolution, they shed a lot of those agents. Taiwan has not had that process in the same way, but yet when people are under attack, they do rally to their country. And I think that that Taiwan probably will resist.
Hold that thought. We'll get your summary after we get back. We'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
As I said to those who've joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. Jeff, got about 2.5-3 minutes to summarize your thoughts for the day and for the week, sir.
Well, we have a new year here, and Americans still aren't clear on who their enemy is. They're not clear on how that enemy works and functions. And I think that's what we really have to do. We have to understand that there is a kind of a new religion. You can call it socialism. And the communist movement is kind of the guiding force, the most highly organized guiding force in this socialist new religion. And a lot of people believe in this religion. It's being taught in our schools and our colleges. They're trying to recruit our children. They've got a lot of people in government. I think President Biden got recruited a long time ago. I say that because of Armin Hammer helping getting him into the U.S. Senate. Same thing with Al Gore Sr. and Jr. Obama was mentored by communist Frank Marshall Davis. This has been documented. We know this. Obama was a communist when he was at Occidental. And so why did he defect from communism then? The problem is, I think that the fall of the Soviet Union enabled people who were radical communists presenting themselves as centrists to enter politics where they couldn't have been, where their backgrounds would have prevented them from being accepted as politicians, or at least leading as senators and presidents. And they got in. And I think they've transformed the intelligence community. They're trying to make it make us into a kind of Soviet state very gradualistically. This is what Michael Waller's book is about. And we need to make people aware of this transformation. We need to make them understand that the deep state, it isn't the bankers or the capitalists, the evil capitalists who are behind all this transformation of America. It's communism. It's the same old-time new religion that's trying to come in and push out Christianity and become the new faith for mankind, the new secular faith. So I think we have to be clear on that, because that really is what's happening. If you really do a survey, if you really do your homework, you're going to have to come to that conclusion.
Well said, Jeff. Well said. Well, we have a new year ahead of us, and we'll keep putting these educating people and letting them know what's going on every Wednesday, won't we, sir?
Yeah. Yeah, it's important to keep getting people interested in to read books and so on. So those of you who want to understand what the deep state is, go out and get Michael Waller's book. You know, you can get it through Amazon, or, you know, you can go online and maybe find other vendors that'll put it out.
Outstanding. Well, thank you, Jeff, as always. We had a great visit, got a lot of great information out here. Stay warm, and we'll do this again next Wednesday.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Tomorrow we'll have my friend Dr. Lynn Horowitz. I like to refer to him as a man with his brain on fire. Friday we'll have, let's see, who's scheduled to be with us. It looks like my pastor, Pastor Evan Bell, will be with us, and Marie Lassiter, the elected coroner of Texas County. That's it for the day. Get medical supplies, energy, plenty of essential oils. Now, while you can, your firearms, ammunition, never ever give your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri, the largest beautiful state of Missouri I get to live in, the even larger beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
Hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.